The Steve Gruber Show is rolling full steam ahead. Here's Steve.
Welcome back to it on a free-for-all Friday. More notes coming in. Dave checking in from TC says the schools are pretty well closed all the way over around Traverse City. Schools closed all over the state, in fact. Icy conditions, snow, blowing snow. Just a real mess of a storm here. The big snow, big accumulations are supposed to go to the south of us. We'll keep an eye on it, though, but south into Indiana and Ohio, some predictions as of a couple of days ago were 2 feet of snow in some areas. So keep that in mind. Traveling today, treacherous, to say the least. So we'll keep an eye on that. My next guest, Alex Pollock, Distinguished Senior Fellow with the Iowa Street Institute, providing thought and policy leadership on financial issues. Alex, welcome to the conversation. How are you today, Alex?
I'm good.
Doing good. Glad to have you here. The Dow is past 25. What was it, 25.5, 25.6 yesterday? I glanced at it.
Something like that.
I'm amazed because I remember back several years ago, my father said, I didn't think I would live long enough to see the Dow surpass 7,000. And I still laugh about that, you know, because it's been, we're four times that now, aren't we?
Back in the 1970s, for years, it went sideways at 1,000 or less.
Yeah, forever and ever. And then finally, and now it just continues to go.
I was thinking this morning of a 1999 book called Dow 36,000.
Right, a book that was, we talked about that book last week here on the program. The book was laughed at and widely panned, but you know what? Based on the averages, based on everything else, the book is right on schedule now.
The only thing is, as I think about it, you really have to adjust the 36,000 for inflation.
Meaning, was he accurate? Did he have it?
Well, he had if 36,000 in 1999 is 53,000 in now, if you just adjust for two decades of inflation.
All right.
But it is fun to look back at that book. Obviously, it was wildly wrong for a long time, and now it doesn't look as wrong as it did if you have a long perspective.
Right. And well, that's. That's what all investment guys tell you, right? You know, you invest in the market, whatever, throw it in a drawer, try to forget about it. Don't look at it every day because you'll drive yourself crazy. But as you look at 2018, Alex, how do you see it playing out here? I had people on the program just yesterday from the construction trades say they see a construction boom in 2018, not just here in Michigan, but around the country.
Well, real estate booms tend to be followed by real estate busts as the night of the day. But, of course, what no one knows ever is the timing. And these things are fundamentally uncertain. And the guys who know as little as anybody else are the members of the Federal Reserve who are greatly influencing this by their actions, needless to say.
Yeah, we have more emergency measures in place, though, you know, in case something happens, you know, things to stop sell-offs and so forth, you know, that there are brakes on the system now after several learning situations. But some would say, you know, Milton Friedman used to say that, you know, most of the crashes and busts and so forth were created by government policy to begin with.
He did, and it has a lot of truth to it.
Yeah,
and it's in the real estate area because when you manipulate interest rates down so that they're negative in inflation-adjusted terms, you're bound to cause big distortions, which the Fed has done.
So, what do you see then for 2018?
I see undoubtedly interesting times. Everything is high. It seems to me that long-term interest rates, people have been saying this for 8 years, but I think it's probably now really going to happen, that they will rise. And when the long-term interest rate rises, that's the fundamental discount rate, which goes into the prices of all assets, real estate, stocks, bonds. I think we'll find the extremely buoyant markets we've experienced, the market prices we've experienced, being substantially more subdued. That's my guess.
Well, the House Financial Services Committee has held some hearings now on legislative proposals for more efficient financial regulation, including proposals to exempt community banks from the CFPB rules, regulations, yeah. provide all of this, as you said, reporting protections for veterans. A lot of regulations being removed by this president, this administration. Overall, do you feel good about that?
Absolutely. What we experienced after the big bust of 2007-2009 was something that's absolutely predictable as part of financial cycles, and that is you get a political reaction, which always is an overreaction, and results in vast over creation of rules, reporting, and bureaucracy. That's what happened, and now we're correcting out of that. So the House Financial Services Committee took up this, as you say, series of bills, and they've got a lot of others. They're going through looking at various reforms one at a time. They did some on the Federal Reserve the other day, a hearing at which I testified, and the same thing, a series of bills. You could have put them all into one massive reforming regulation bill, but they've adopted the strategy of looking at a whole set of smaller steps and thinking about them one by one. That this hearing you're referring to is that way, for especially for the smaller banks. And of course, the smaller banks are very happy about the possibility of having some of the very onerous burden removed, and I think they're right about that.
It'd be helpful for the community banks. All right,
it would. You know, because when you create very complex rules, it fundamentally favors large organizations. The great big banks, for example, they have the scale to spread across a lot of business a big regulatory burden, and they can inside themselves create an internal corporate bureaucracy to face off against the government bureaucracy. Little guys don't have the luxury of being able to do that, so the burden proportionally to the size of the organization is much heavier on the smaller banks, or on any smaller organization for that matter.
Right. I understand that. It makes it, they have to be able to compete like anybody else. And so get out of the way. And I say that about a lot of government regulation.
I would say that too.
Absolutely. Alex, I greatly appreciate you stopping in, and I appreciate your time.
Thanks a lot. It's very nice to be with you.
There you have it. Alex Pollock, distinguished senior fellow with the R Street Institute. And getting regulation out of the way seems to be the way to go. Now, if you didn't hear, Walmart was boosting its wages to its employees to $11 an hour, handing out bonuses of up to $1,000 for hourly employees, and then announces abruptly the closing of 63 Sam's stores, including the one in Lansing and the one in Metro Detroit. So two Sam's Club stores, a closing in Michigan with almost no warning. The employees arrived for work and said, nope, not today. They'll reopen today. That was yesterday. They will reopen today, but we'll be closed within a couple of weeks. We'll be liquidating quickly, and that'll be the end of 63 different Sam's Club stores. Meanwhile, Costco is building new stores and trying to take Amazon head on, I suppose. Be careful out there on the roads. This hour of the program brought to you by DTE Energy, providing safe, reliable natural gas to customers across Michigan. DTE Energy, know your own power.